WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. On a feel-good football Friday, and an hour ago, we opened up the rest of the tickets for Boomer and Geo live at the Paramount Friday, November 22nd. So go to Ticketmaster.com and get yours before they are no longer available, and they go quick, these tickets. So get on there, Boomer and Geo live, and there's all sorts of different types of tickets you can get, including ones at VIP, where you get to meet and hang out with us after the show, and you get a commemorative gift and early access to the venue and all of those things. And then there's some other general admission tickets, so it's all up there at Ticketmaster.com. Just go to Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks to the Paramount on Friday, November 22nd, and we will we'll kill it again, as we always do. We throw back a couple of drinks. This is an uncensored, live, off-air, on-stage show with Adam and the Metal Hawks and many special guests, some that we will let you know ahead of time, some we won't, so it's a surprise for the paying audience that is there. But it's been a really, really fun thing that we have started here, and this one's going to be the biggest one yet. Boomer and Geo live at the Paramount. Ticketmaster.com, brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere.
Definitely will be a fun, fun night. Now, hey, listen, you know, we talk about the NFL this weekend, Giants last night, still got a few guys on the line that we're going to get to, but I will say that maybe the biggest game of the week are your Vikings at the Packers, and whether or not Jordan Love is going to be playing for the Packers.
Yeah, so this is one of the games that we're going to pick a little bit later. And yeah, that's a huge factor if Jordan Love plays. I mean, I also think that if he plays, he's not going to be 100% because it's been talked about as a game time decision. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play and they're trying to throw the Vikings off and Brian Flores off and having to prepare for two different quarterbacks. And we've seen teams do that throughout the years. But yeah, this is a huge deal. And, you know, I have this one friend in my life who's a Vikings fan. He's a teacher at Sayville, and he always texts me and goes, "Are you activated yet? Are you activated?" He's always activated. He's positive.
Well, I've activated you twice already.
And he's, "Are you activated yet?" So the answer is generally no, but something happened this morning where it just came out of me. And now I'm like, oh, no, am I starting to be activated? So I heard Fleegs in making the picks with C-Mac this morning. And he ends up picking the Packers. And one of the reasons why he picked the Packers, he goes, you know, they played the Giants, who stink, and then they had two home games. And I went, you're just going to say they had two home games? They beat the 49ers and the Texans in those home games. Two teams everybody thought were way better than them, and they were underdogs in those home games. So don't give me two home games. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, wait a second, stop, stop. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. But it happened.
Yeah.
It happened naturally. And I got pissed off. And I'm like, it's too early for this. But I will say that the Packers week and that team and hating that team and that rivalry and going to Lambeau, no matter what, in any season is always a lot of fun.
It's your Giants-Cowboy game.
It is, yeah.
It's right? Yeah. I mean, like, the Packers have owned you guys with all these quarterbacks, haven't they?
I mean, they've won a lot of divisions, but the record is a lot closer than what the Giants and the Cowboys and the Giants and the Eagles have been. I mean, the Vikings have gone to the postseason. They have beaten them. You know, they kicked the crap out of them week one a couple years ago with Aaron Rodgers. You know, so it's not like Giants Cowboys in the sense of how tilted it is,
the hatred and the actual rivalry.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be a big one, and I'll be excited for it for sure.
That's your team is one of five undefeated teams that are all on the road this week in the NFL.
Yeah. So going on the road.
Pittsburgh at Indianapolis, Kansas City at the Chargers, Buffalo at Baltimore, and Seattle at Detroit.
Steve in Atlanta, what is this? Steve, good morning. Long time no talk.
Morning, boys, from soggy but pretty calm northern metro Atlanta. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. I mean, I've seen some of the images, obviously, from the northwest coast of Florida, and it looks really, really bad in the storm surge and everything. So hopefully the damage is limited, but this looks like a monster and has been a monster storm so far.
Yeah, I feel bad because people reach out to me and say, how you doing? And I look outside and it's, you know, that joke where there's a chair knocked over and it's like, I survived Hurricane Helene. And that's how it is here. We're very lucky. It's just a lot of rain here today. But, yeah, we're holding it down. And I feel bad for those folks in Florida, but we'll recover for sure.
Yeah, what's going on here with the fan in Atlanta?
Yeah, so I'm really close with the 680, the fan guys here that do the Braves broadcast. They're the ones who got into the tiff with Sal last year. And I've been communicating with Sal offline about coming down potentially here and there to see Falcon games or whatever. But they've said, with everything that I've talked to, that they have a couple of tickets where they wouldn't have any problem hosting anyone from the rival radio station in their suite for the doubleheader on Monday. I know that's tough. You guys have the shows between your morning show, the afternoon show, but yeah, that whole thing. I know y'all have PTO. You did take a lot of them off in the summer, but they did say for a nice rival fight, given what happens this weekend, if anyone was interested, come on down. I'll grab you off from the airport, bring you over to the stadium, make it happen.
All right, quick question for you. I know that they have the Royals this weekend. Are they going to have to play a doubleheader, or are they going to be able to play tonight?
Based on where I know the stadium is and what the sun's going to come out around 11 o'clock this morning here. So as long as knowing that it's a new stadium and have proper draining, from what I've heard, they're really expecting to get the game in today for sure.
So they will get it all three games in over the three-day weekend and not have to play a doubleheader against the Royals at any point in time.
Exactly. Three in a row, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. I saw your governor on TV yesterday talking about the emergency and the hurricane and the size of this storm and how many counties in Georgia are going to be affected. And then the host asked or talked to him about the doubleheader on Monday between the Mets and the Braves. And Governor Kemp took a shot at the Mets, of course.
Well,
you know, like all Atlanta fans tend to do.
Yeah, I mean, so
you'll like him.
Steve,
Boomer, you'll like him. You'll like him in a 2028 when he's one of the presidential nominees. You just buckle up and get ready for that.
I've actually met him a couple times. Nice guy. Very nice guy.
All right, a couple things, Steve. The realistic possibility of someone who would actually take you up on that would be Evan Roberts because he's sick in the head. Although yesterday he was trying to set up some sort of watch party in the city, and that's where that came from. Would Boomer come to the watch party, or would he be somewhere else playing golf? And you do have a charity tournament, I believe, on Monday.
Right. I committed to that before I knew this was going to happen.
Right. Sal, I think, he's on the air during that time, so that's a very difficult thing. But he would be, if his schedule, he would be a guy. But us clearly have no interest in going down there to do that.
Al Dukes, how about you? You're a big Met fan.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. But I have an idea. It didn't work out the last time, but it could work out this time. He's a Mets fan as well as a Knicks fan. Yes, we'll get an unshowered. We'll tell him to stop. Do not wash yourself from now until Monday.
But you remember the last time we got Zoo involved down in Atlanta? What happened?
Oh, it was great. I mean, they didn't work out for the Knicks, but it was awesome for us.
Yes,
he was thrown out of the owner's box because Jamie Gertz felt uncomfortable that he was in there. So we can make some more folks feel uncomfortable as we send Big Zoo down there with his hairy arms. You know, we'll just put him in that same Knicks jersey.
Maybe
and just put
Zoo
him
and Gallo. What would happen if Zoo and Gallo?
They would be. They'd probably be arrested. But yeah, that, I mean, maybe Zoo. Maybe we'll send Zoo down there. And we will 680 the fan pay for their airfare.
That is unconfirmed. Given the talent level of WFAN, I'd go out of pocket to help with that. But, you know, Zoo, I'd do the Amtrak. It takes about 24 hours, the overnight Amtrak. If it was Boomer or you or Al, I would definitely do a first class with Delta. But, no, just the ticket to the game and maybe a guest room at the house. You can play with my two kids if they want. I don't know if that's weird if Zoo came to the house, but, yeah.
You don't want.
No,
listen,
no.
Zoo one day may be a great father. Right now, at this point in his life, you do not want him around your children. I don't think that is something you want to see. But all right, very good, Steve. You've thrown it out there on the air. We appreciate it. I don't think anybody's going to take you up on it, but it's out there into the world now. that offer. Any WFAN host that would like to go down to Atlanta to watch the Mets and the Braves on Monday, you can be in the 680, the fan suite, which is not a radio station of ours. Someone else owns that.
But, you know, it's amazing that that weather is going to change that quickly. You know, we knew yesterday was obviously going to be a washout, but I would have figured that today would have been a washout, too.
Yeah, but I guess not. Maybe it's moving a little farther west. Let's go to Taylor, who's in Manhattan. What's going on, Taylor?
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning.
Good morning.
So I have a reverse Elvis Ducky spot here. My one-year-old really ramped up her crawling recently. We're not on our parenting A game at the moment. We keep forgetting the dog food is on the ground, and she keeps racing to it and eating it. And my wife was all nervous the first time, and I'm sitting there with, like, Jerry Recco in my head, Farmer's dog, Jerry Recco in my head saying, "Oh, no, 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 it's okay. It's human-grade dog food delivered right to your door." And I can't, like, I'm no expert, but I feel like human babies don't keep eating things they don't like, so the girl can't get enough, so shout out to the farmer's dog.
And Taylor, that is hilarious. And it's Al saying it, not Jerry, right? It's me and Al who do those commercials. But yeah, I mean,
have you guys eaten any of the dog food or no?
No, no. I mean, it's for
the dog. Give it a shot.
Yeah, I don't think they like that. I think they want the dogs to eat it, I think.
Yeah, that's a dog food.
I mean, it's human-grade ingredients, but it's for the dog.
I know it's for
what
the
about
dog,
the dogs?
But you could live on it if you had to.
Well, apparently this child is in Manhattan, is crawling towards the farmer's dog and eating it. But, I mean, it is human-grade ingredients, and it is, I mean, it's as healthy as you could possibly get for your dog. So I'm sure your baby would be okay. Hell, if society collapsed...
What's
and
worse,
I had that
eating,
farmer's dog, eating, I'd be eating it.
What's worse, eating dog food or eating the dog itself?
I mean, probably eating the dog itself.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
They're eating the cats named Vagina. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Seeing red, so don't push me. Ain't Donald Trump trying to grab him by the...
A little bit of a different version there than the first time. Oh, good stuff. Clem in Rockland County. What's going on, Clem?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say I'm really looking forward to November's show with that White Eagle. And I'm taking my wife to this one. She's really pumped up as well, so I can't wait to
nice,
watch you guys.
Nice, Clem. Love to hear that. And you will not... we're going to put on a great show. You won't regret coming. It's going to be awesome. We have put on three great ones, and this fourth one's going to be the best. So thank you for buying tickets. Excited for that Friday, November 22nd.
Yeah, no doubt I'm going to be excited coming. It's just my wife. I mean, I had such a good time at White Eagle Hall, and she was kind of like, you know, you think I'll like the show. She's not into sports, but we'll see what happens. But I'm definitely pumped
well,
up.
We barely do any sports at these Boomer and Geo Lives. It's a full, you saw the last one.
She don't even know you guys, though. That's not the sports point. I know what the show's about, but she don't even know it. Like, whatever. We'll see how it goes.
She will love it. I will guarantee you that. She will love it.
I'm gonna hold you to that, Geo. All right, so to my Giants-Cowboys point, going back to 1961 when this rivalry started, the Cowboys have a 76-47-2 advantage. I mean, that's dominant. Since Dak's been the quarterback, I mean, it's even more crushing. We just own the Giants. So do you think there should be like a worldwide reprieval on the word cowgirls until the Giants can like even up the score a little bit? I mean, it's insulting. I find it insulting that Giants fans still have a big mouth. We totally dominate them. We suck this year. We absolutely stink. We're not going nowhere. The next seven games, we'll be in the pits. And we still beat the Giants. That's how pathetic they are. And they have the nerve. The G-strings have the nerve.
The G-string
fans. The nerve to call us cowgirls still. I mean, give respect where respect is due. It's dominant. How about them Cowboys? Yo, guys, I'll see you in November.
Bud. I mean, you know what? You're allowed to do that as a Cowboys fan when it pertains to the Giants. You're allowed to. I mean, it's lopsided. It hasn't been fair. They haven't been in the same class as the Cowboys. I mean, it's not like the Cowboys have gone and won a ton of championships.
They had a chance last night, man.
Yeah, they
had a chance last night. I was Sitting there watching this game, I was hoping that, you know, halftime one way or the other was going to be a blowout so I could go to bed. And then it turns out to actually be a game where the Giants had a chance late in the game to win the game.
Yeah. And this is why the first thing out of my mouth was a blown opportunity for the Giants. And this was a down year. I mean, even in the open of Thursday Night Football last night on Amazon, I'm saying, if you want to get the Cowboys, you got to get them now.
And by the way, we are one quarter of the way into the season. So, the way that many coaches that I played for would decipher these games and how they would play themselves out, like the coach, if we were 1-3 after four, they would come in and say, look, man, we're a quarter of the way through the season. We got so much more football to play and so many things can happen. If you buy into what is being said about you,
I'm not a genius.
Right. You read into what is being said about you, then all of a sudden we might as well just give up right now. But that cannot be the case. You just don't know what's going to happen. In a 17-game season, there are so many different variables that can play themselves out. And all I would say, like I was saying about the Mets earlier in the season, if you can get back to 500, you got to get back to 500. Somehow you just got to do that, and you got to do it by going to Seattle and winning a game that probably nobody's going to expect you to win. But what happens if Seattle goes to Detroit, gets blown out, Geno Smith gets hurt, and the next thing you know, you're playing in Seattle, and the quarterback's not there? These are the types of things that happen in the league.
Yeah, right.
Seattle has benefited from those things in their first three games. Now they're actually going to be playing a really good team in Detroit, and we'll find out who Seattle really is.
Yeah, you know what, though? This year is not a good year to say that a team hasn't played anybody, because there's been so many upsets. I mean, just so many games you didn't expect. The Raiders over the Ravens, the Patriots over the Bengals, the Commanders over the Bengals. There's been so many of these that have...
The Giants over the Browns.
The Vikings over the Browns suck. We knew that they
suck. But how about this? You know, C.J. Stroud was lauded for having such a great season last year. They go into Minnesota, they get hammered.
Right, that's another one. They were favorites in that game. So, I mean, there's been nothing easy about this schedule so far for anybody in 2024. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you want to be like Clem and go to Boomer and Geo Live, go to Ticketmaster.com. The tickets, all tickets are available this morning for Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks, November 22nd.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. Jerry's here with an update, moment of the day, and then we'll have our picks right after that. What's going on, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We are also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We take you back to MetLife Stadium last night. Giants, Cowboys, week four in the NFL.
First and 10, Dallas from their own 45. Prescott takes the snap. Giants bring pressure. He throws one left sideline. Lamb makes the catch. Gets away from Banks. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. 55 yards.
Yeah, not many touchdowns last night to speak of. Bob Popper. But that was one of two that Dak Prescott threw, the other to Rico Dowdle. That to CeeDee Lamb, 55 yards out. Cowboys led 14-6. They would go on to beat the Giants 20-15 as the Giants kicked 5 field goals on the night. More than that, they might have lost Malik Nabers for some significant time. We don't know. He did leave the game after a drop pass at the end on a fourth down play, hit his head on the turf when he went down, suffered a concussion, and not sure if it's accurate or not yet, but people speculating Micah Parsons, a high ankle sprain. So we don't know that yet, having an MRI today. But if that is the case, both players could miss time. We shall
see. I guess
see.
Lower leg injuries. I know it's the concussion's a big thing for Malik, and that's different, but both DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons with lower leg injuries.
Yes, they did. That is correct from last night. Here was Brian Daboll. You didn't score touchdowns, though you had some opportunities. Siri is specifically talking about inside the 20.
Yeah, we're 0-for-2 when we got down there. So, again, some of those were third down conversions where we had some opportunities to get there. I think we punted one time. Hit some fourth downs. But ultimately, you know, we threw out the ball out there to Wandell on the one, and they made a good tackle on him.
Yes, because that one could have been a touchdown, but it was not. Here was Daniel Jones. Any solace in the fact that you played these guys tight? You were outscored 89-17 last year in two games against them.
We don't feel good about losing. We didn't do enough to win, and you know, we're frustrated. We're not discouraged. I think we're still confident in our team and what we can do, but. No, we don't feel good about losing.
You know who I couldn't find, and I'm sure he spoke? I could not find any Jerry Jones video. After a win over the Giants, where he likes to beat the Giants' asses, we always say, nothing out there, which is odd to me.
Maybe that penis thing scared him off. That Jamie Foxx penis thing might have scared him off from talking. I didn't want to answer any more questions about it, like he did on that interview. Remember when they asked him about it, and he said, hey, I can't hear you guys anymore?
Yeah, I thought that was asked and answered, though.
Yeah.
I don't know that they were ever going to go back to that. I mean, I suppose it's possible. He didn't want to deal with the New York media, but...
Yeah. I mean, big penis story and New York media combined. Whew. Watch out.
That is what it was.
That's a hot tamale right there.
Here was Darius Slayton. We talked about the Giants' fourth quarter drops. They had three of them. Slayton had one himself.
For sure. 100% got to make that. I make that. At least extends the drive. We got a chance at scoring right there. So, you know, I take accountability for that.
And then Wandell Robinson, he also had a drop in the fourth quarter. He was talking about the 1-3 start through four.
It's really frustrating. But at the end of the day, we still know we got plenty of games left. So, just got to go out there and put the best product out there on the field and go get some wins.
Get some wins right now. 1-3. The Cowboys are 2-2. The Giants go to Seattle next week. The Cowboys will be in prime time next Sunday night in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Real quick, I'm going to play this from Justin Fields. So this was on the Cam Hayward podcast. I guess, again, it was a little piece that was put out on Twitter. Like a little 30-second excerpt. And I guess Cam Hayward was asking, like, you know, pick this or that. So he asked about the coaching that he has dealt with so far in his career.
Coaching Pittsburgh or Chicago?
Pittsburgh. That was it.
It's hard to hear, but he doesn't even let him finish saying. He goes Pittsburgh, and then he goes not close.
He's won three games with Pittsburgh.
I understand.
And 3-0 right
and
now.
And the coaching staff in Chicago kicked him to the curb.
Fair.
really, the general manager did because they didn't believe that he was processing the game fast enough, and they had a chance to draft Caleb Williams. What can I tell you? It happens.
I wasn't yelling at you. We thought that was an interesting clip, the way he answered so quickly.
That's not even close.
Yeah.
They got the Artie party down there, too, in Pittsburgh with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator.
The Artie party. I like it. Jets-Broncos Sunday, C.J. Mosley. He's going to prepare like he's going to play, but how is he doing?
Feeling pretty good. Just day-to-day with the toe injury, so not much I can really do or manipulate for that area. So just taking it day-to-day.
Another one of these games where the two quarterbacks, there's a lot of years in between the two of them. Aaron Rodgers, 40. You got Bo Nix, probably 21 or 22. Here is Nix talking about going up against the legend.
Well, it's pretty surreal. I've grew up watching him do all his, cool plays for so long. And, over time, I've watched a lot of his, highlights. And so it's crazy that I get to go out there and play against him.
But that's what will be the case Sunday at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. The Jets 2-1 after losing to San Francisco. They've won 2 in a row. Broncos 1-2. I mentioned Al in the warm-up show. Did you see the story that Christian McCaffrey went to Germany to get his Achilles treated?
Yep. Calf and his Achilles. Yes, he had platelets put in.
That tells me that
he may not play.
Yeah.
Until December.
Is that what they're aiming for?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'll take that because Jordan Mason I drafted in like the 13th round of the fantasy. So stay over there in Germany, CMC. Let's go.
We get to the baseball last night at Yankee Stadium. The Bombers looking to close out the Orioles, and they got a lot of run support along the way.
Stanton with the bases loaded, one out. Swung on and ripped. The deep right center field over Mullins' head. One hop off the Yankee bullpen wall. One run scores. Here's Judge. Two run score. Here's Wells. He scores. It is a bases clearing 3-run double for Giancarlo.
And that was John Sterling with the ball here on the Fan. Put them up 5-0 earlier in the game. He had a home run. Yankees beat the Orioles 10-1. There were also home runs from Aaron Judge and Alex Verdugo in this game. For Judge, fifth straight game with a home run. 58th of the season. Here was Stanton with Susan after the game, just talking about all the run production and the way that the bats came out last night.
Nice to get the scoring going, and continue it. Everyone's top to bottom. We scored 10 runs, so can't complain.
Can't complain, and the Yankees looking to play a whole bunch of games at home now in the postseason.
That's what we tried to do since day one. I mean, it was an amazing feeling. I mean, getting those guys done, get the job done, and it's a great feeling right now.
And that was Juan Soto on Yes. They were celebrating once again, and why the hell not? They were out on the field. They were in the locker room. Gerrit Cole, the beneficiary of all the run support. He was also dominant through 6 2/3. He says, nice to pitch with a lead.
I mean, it's big. Like, you know, if you want to get deep in the game against the Orioles, you're going to have to attack the strike zone. But, you know, they hit home runs with the best of them. So having a little bit of a cushion just makes you feel, you know, like a solo home run doesn't beat you. So it was huge for G to come through there.
And G, of course, Giancarlo Stanton. Here was Judge. We played this earlier. He was a guest on MLB Network afterwards, just in terms of trying to enjoy all this.
Sometimes after clinching, a superstar like you might take a day off. What are your plans for the weekend?
Yeah, we're going to party hard, so I might take a day off. We'll see.
And speaking of Judge, one Jazz Chisholm with Susan.
For me, I mean, this is everything. Seeing Judge go up every day and do his thing. I mean, you know how a little brother looks at his big brother and he keeps doing his thing? That's how I feel right now.
And you know how everybody in this day and age of athlete, everybody's just so close and tight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of friendships, a lot of bonds.
Jazz feeling that here in New York.
They treated me like family. As soon as I got traded over, I got a text from Garrett. I got a text from Cap. Talked to Giancarlo. All the guys gave me a call and told me, like, hey, man, we're so excited to have you here. Before, like, the trade was even fully official, they already sent me the text.
Yeah. Now it just squirted out of Miami and ended up here ready to embrace you and take you on.
You are not kidding. All right, so what do the Yankees do now? Obviously, they got the Pirates. Here is Gerrit Cole, how he's going to handle things before he gets that Game 1 start.
I think we'll probably throw some hitters early next week and, try to stay sharp.
Oh, man.
That's a dominant major league pitcher with that voice. Yeah, that is pretty funny. Anyhow, Yankees Pirates tonight. Carlos Rodon the start. That game will be on WFAN 660 because the Rutgers game will be on 101.9 FM tonight. Mets and Milwaukee.
So if you flip on 101.9 here, Kyle Manunga, as opposed to Jazz Chisholm.
That is true.
Jazz Chisholm.
I don't think he's done that yet.
No, he's John has.
No. This week, I mean.
Oh, this week. Back.
No, I know he has in the past.
Chisholm.
I just meant this week. The Mets have this one-game lead on Atlanta for the third wild card spot, tied with Arizona for second. And we shall see how this weekend plays out right now. Scheduled to play 2 in Atlanta on Monday. In Los Angeles, the NL West all wrapped up by the Dodgers.
Nothing into the count on the number 9 hitter, Higashioka. The pitch from Kopech. Poked beyond the infield. Shallow right field. Taylor calling for it. And still, National League West division champions, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Again, for the 11th time in 12 seasons, that's pretty damn good as they beat the Padres. We knew they were going to be in the postseason anyway, but they get the division title as they seem to do every single season. And it did end in Oakland. 57 years, the A's wound up beating the Rangers yesterday 3-2. So for them, it is now on to Sacramento. What are they talking about, 2 years or three there?
The fans, they have to get this thing in Vegas right first. I don't even think they have that straightened out yet.
Yeah, which is crazy. Here was Mark Kotze, the A's manager. Obviously, all the fans came out, sellout crowd yesterday.
You could feel the love for every one of us in this uniform representing this city of Oakland, you know, and they were grateful.
Well, at least yesterday they were, because there have been a lot of games where there's been 4,000 fans. And then lastly, Bruce Bochy on the fans that were out there.
For us, I mean, we're out there trying to win the game, so I mean, it's you know, a good day.
Think about this.
I don't give a crap about it. Those stupid ass Oakland, freaking liberal politicians push this goddamn team out of here. It's a bunch of crime and homelessness, and I don't give a crap. Just trying to win a baseball game. All this pageantry, Ricky Anderson, Barry Zito singing a goddamn song. Stupid ass things. Dumb. What is an A anyway? Oh, athletic. Oh, yeah, they're real athletic. They suck every year. Sorry.
That has been the case. It is different, though, how we're all this. We're all. Okay.
Sorry.
we're all the same yet very different. Like Bruce Bochy.
For us, I mean, we're out there trying to win games.
Compared to Garrett Cole.
I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, it's big. Like, you know, if you want to get.
It's unbelievable. Exactly. So a lot of baseball this weekend, NFL on Sunday, obviously, and the college football in between. All right, time now for Moment of the Day. Brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you, enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. And I did close out the 6:30 update this morning with a college football comment.
And Rutgers home for Washington tonight.
Right, yeah, big one.
Yeah, it is.
It's not big. Well, standalone.
Well, standalone on Fox. There is a game on ESPN, I think, University of
Miami. That's right. That's right. You are right about that. Yeah, we did that earlier. Yeah, I can just hear Chris Carlin now going, Kyle Menungay! I like when he does that.
Crap bowl! Kyle Menungay!
They're running back, Kyle.
Yeah. One of the best in the country.
Yeah.
Eddie breaks through Menungay! Touchdown, Kyle Menungay!
I hope he's saying that a lot tonight.
Yeah.
66-yard touchdown! Kyle Menungay!
Come on.
That's what I mean. It's great. What are you talking about? Come on. It's what it sounds like. He gets all fired up.
He has passion. There's no question about that.
And it's just a perfect name for Carlin to be yelling.
By the way, I did not listen to Phil Simms last night. Do we have any Phil Simms cuts from
last
night?
No, but I'll give you
broccoli, onions.
Push formation. Everybody inside Kelly Aquinas. Hands it off. Going left is Menungay.
Yeah.
For
the touchdown.
Don't know. That's nice.
There you go. On the fan tonight, Rutgers in Washington. The game starts at 8. Your guy, Mark Melusis, with the pregame show at 7:30.
Dude, you know what I want to see is Menunga. That's what I want to see, a little TD.
All right there, Jerry. Thank you. We'll see you in just a couple minutes for our picks. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tom Studio.
Menunga!
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
The Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. I had a winning week last week. It's the first winning week of any of us throughout the season. I was in first place all of last year. I continue to be in first place this year. Unfortunately, I am still under 500 on the season at 7-8.
All right, so, well, you're getting there.
First at 7-8. Boomer second with a 2-3 week last week at 5-10. And Jerry, who decided to go opposite of what he actually thought.
Yeah, that didn't work out so good.
It didn't, because you would have been 4-1. Instead, you were 1-4. Now you're sitting there at the bottom at 4-11. Moron. On the scene.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing about this Giant game last night. I went back and I've been looking at the tape from last night's game.
Yeah.
So when they threw the flag on the initial Dallas touchdown screen pass. So there's, what's the center's name, Beebe?
Yeah, for a rookie.
Right, so he's like 2 yards downfield before the running back catches the ball. So I'm believing that's what they threw the flag for, and then with replay assist, somebody overturned it.
Yep.
So I don't know who overturned it. And then you go back and you look at the face mask on Bellinger. It was the cowboy who had his hands in Bellinger's face mask, and there was no replay assist on that.
Jimmy Crackle, and I don't care.
The point being is that, you know, the NFL's in a dangerous spot here. Like, what are you helping with and what aren't you helping with? And if you are helping with one thing, why aren't you helping with the other? That's all. Okay,
Jerry, let's get to the games.
All right, we got 5 games for you. We start with the Eagles and the Bucs in Tampa. The Bucs getting 1.5.
I am going to take the Eagles this week. I think this is going to be a 3-point game. I think the Eagles showed me something that they could win on the road in a tough situation down in New Orleans, keep the game close. Saquon Barkley is having a monster year, guys. I don't know if you realize that. And I think, you know, against this Buck defense, this game should be relatively low scoring, close game. And I'm going to take the Eagles here, and I'll give the points.
I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I don't like the Philadelphia Eagles so far this year, and A.J. Brown is most likely. I haven't ruled him out, but he hasn't practiced. He's got this hamstring injury, and I think they got a bye next week, so they're really going to keep him out. I don't like either one of these teams as being a good team, but the Eagles and the Saints last week, I watched a ton of that game. It was weird. It was slow. The Eagles still look completely out of sorts from last year, and Nick Sirianni is clearly on the hot seat. I don't like the vibe around Philadelphia at all. So give me Baker Mayfield to lead his Buccaneers to victory in this one. I'll take Tampa Bay.
Pains me to do this, but I'm going to take the Eagles minus the 1.5 just because Barkley was outstanding last week, and I'm quite terrified of the Bucs after they got rolled by the Broncos in their own building. I will take the Eagles. Game number two. The Saints, who lost to the Eagles last week in Atlanta, to take on the Falcons. The Falcons minus 1.5.
Yeah, I don't think Kirk Cousins has really found his game yet. And I know that last week's loss by the Saints was really it was a debacle from their standpoint, especially reading after all the games, post game press conferences and everything else. I just think the Saints, I feel like they're a better team. I feel like this is a game that I expect them to win. So I will take the points. I'll take the Saints. Another close game here, by the way, between division foes.
Yeah, I don't think that the Saints can go from as good as they were the first couple of weeks, and then everybody jumped off them after that game last week that we're just talking about with the Eagles. And I agree with the Falcons. It's just not quite there yet offensively. So I think the Saints bounce back. I think people are talking about them as one of the better teams in the NFC again after winning this game. So I'm going to take New Orleans.
I agree with both of you. After what I saw 2 weeks ago, kind of surprised with the game against the Eagles. But I think the Saints bounce right back and win in Atlanta. I take New Orleans for pick number two. Pick number three, Vikings at Lambeau against the Packers. Green Bay minus 3.
You know, how about the Viking defense? You know, we talk about Sam Darnold a lot. Talk about the wide receivers a lot. How about since 2001, the Saints had 5.5 five sacks in each of their first three games. Minnesota has that this year. 16 sacks in three games. I don't know who's playing here. I want to say if Jordan Love is playing, I want to take the Packers. If Malik Willis is playing, I want to take the Vikings. Can we do that?
No.
No.
I actually presented this same scenario about 4 years ago, and you guys shut me down. So,
man, talk about holding on to something. Holy yeah. God, let it go, man. Damn. All right. I'm going to I think I got to take the Minnesota Vikings here. I think they have been a really good team. Surprised a lot of people. Sam Darnold's playing great. Their defense is playing better. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings, and I'll take the 3 points.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback because you're not going to get a healthy Jordan Love, and Malik Willis is not good. So either combination there, I think the Vikings defense with Brian Flores and having what could be his best coaching performance ever so far throughout the first 3 weeks of this season against the 49ers offense and then the Texans offense. They are on a roll, and this offense is on a roll, and they may get Jordan Addison back this week, but I don't think so. But I don't think that it matters. I think they go up there, and it's a 3-point spread, so they could still end up losing this game and covering the spread. But I think they win. I'm jumping on them this week, and I am picking the Minnesota Vikings.
I hate to be boring and going 3-for-3 with you guys, but I like the Vikings as well. I think the best player on the field is on their team, and they win this game, especially with the quarterback situation with Green Bay. Sunday night football, before we get to the Jets, you've got the 3-0 Bills in Baltimore against the 1-2 Ravens. The Ravens minus 2.5.
As much as I love what Josh Allen's doing, they're not going undefeated. They're going to lose somewhere along the line. And I do think that the Ravens are a tough team, man. As we saw last week against the Cowboys, they present so many problems on offense, especially against a young defense like the Buffalo Bills. Although their defensive line has been playing really well, I am going to take the Ravens here. If it were a 3-point spread, I think I would have taken the Ravens. I think this game's going to be within 3, but I'll take the Ravens at home.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens at home, too.
And lay the point.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't like, I think that's like 3 in a row now we've agreed on. I don't love doing that, but just looking at these games prior, I really like the Ravens this week out of all these picks. And I saw firsthand, man, how dominant the Buffalo Bills were on Monday Night Football against the Jaguars, but the Jaguars have major problems. I just, the Ravens win these type of games at home against these tough teams, not so much on the road, but these tough games at home. And And I think it'll be a great game, one of the best games of the week, but I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens as well.
Boring. Me too. Sorry. I hate to do it, but I'm not going to just go against it for the point. Not yet. Maybe like week 14 when I'm down by 30 games.
Yeah.
But I will take Baltimore minus the 2.5 as well, as, again, especially what I saw last week. And then finally, 1 o'clock on Sunday, you've got the Denver Broncos off their win in Tampa, and quite impressive, against the Jets, who after losing week one have won in Tennessee, then beat the Patriots. They are minus 7.5.
You know, they've gotten better and better and better, the Jets have. They are the NFL leader in third down conversion percentage this season. That's unbelievable. They were 32nd in the NFL in that category last year. Aaron Rodgers has changed the whole dynamic of their offense. He's spreading the ball around. He's getting everybody involved. Everybody's happy. It's great to go to work. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen are a 1-2 punch. I think this is going to be too much for Bo Nix. I'm going to lay the 7.5 points and take the Jets at home.
That's four in a row now. Yeah. But, yeah, it's the way I feel, and I don't want to go against it just because we're picking the same games. Maybe this is the week that we go 4-1, 5-0. Who knows? But I am also taking the Jets. They're going to win this game by 10. I mean, that's as easy as I can just... They are 10 points better at the very least than the Denver Broncos. So give me the New York Jets Sunday at 1 o'clock. Enjoy it, by the way, the Sunday at 1 o'clock, because the Jets don't play a lot of those games. So soak it up, Jets fans.
Yeah, 3-for-3 again. I think the Jets roll here and win by more than 10. I think they clobber Denver.
All right. The Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and the official sportsbook of WFAN. Why don't you give them a sports minute? We'll hand it over to BT.